The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, after over 40 years in public office, Michael Ring bowed out of elected politics at the general election 2024. From Westport Town Council to around the cabinet table, Michael Ring has been a central figure in Mayo politics, holding a seat in Doyle Éireann from 1994 until last year. And since then, the former TD has had to adjust to a slightly slower pace of life outside the Leinster House bubble. But he's with us this morning. Michael Ring, good morning and welcome.
Well, Pat, first of all, I want to welcome you to Mayo and Westport. And I'm delighted that you're here in Westport, probably the finest town in the country. And, you know, great people, a great community. Yeah. And you really are welcome in
your
team.
The problem, I also want to welcome your team. The problem when we do a programme like this and we extol the virtues of Westport, and it's all true, by the way, this is a most charming town. It's not a best-kept secret anymore. So you'll be inundated with people.
Well, look, that's great. And the more that comes, the merrier. And we want people to come to Westport, and they are coming to Westport. And people are now discovered in Westport. And a lot of my own colleagues at this summer spent their holidays here in Westport and really enjoyed it. We had fantastic weather. We have fantastic hotels. We have fantastic restaurants and some fantastic scenery. And I'm saying to people that have never been in Westport, just come down and examine it for yourself and make, you know, have your own opinion on Westport after you come. And I guarantee you, if you come to Westport for a weekend, for a week or for a month, I can guarantee you'll come again and you'll even want to stay.
It's quite a sophisticated town in its own way.
Well, it is. Look, it has everything. It has a great mix. There's no doubt about it. Like when you look at, particularly take the hoteliers, they're all family owned. And the way they come together every year, put a pot of money in place, and they don't mind which hotel is filled because they know if one hotel is filled, the next one will be filled. And on top of that, then we have wonderful festivals, and I just want two or three of the festivals. The St. Patrick's Day Festival next year is going to be a major event in the town next year, they tell me. And they also have the Gáinne Ale Festival, the Bluegrass Festival, they have the Book Festival, and you know, nothing but festivals. There's something going on every weekend. But the good thing about this, Pat, it's not being organised from people outside the county or the country. It's been organised by Westport people, and they have total control. And it's fantastic. Every weekend, there's something going on. And as I say, you know, you have great pubs, you have great restaurants.
Yeah. But what is significant about the streetscape here, Michael, is when you walk along the streets and you see shop after shop, it's not like a British high street. It's quite the opposite. It's all local shops.
It's all local shops, and it's great to see them. And it's something the government have to look at. They have to support some of these smaller shops. They have to give them an opportunity. They've been hit very hard with rates. They're being hit very hard with, you know, all kinds, paying for water charges. They have to be paying for every kind of charge, tax and rates and everything else. So it's something government need to look at. It's wonderful you come into a town like Westport, you see all these small shops, and yet, you know, government could be doing a lot more for small businesses.
I'm looking at the window here from where we are in the town hall at the Octagon. And it's just it's like a picture postcard.
Well, isn't it? And it's beautiful here. And the weather is fantastic here. And we had a fantastic summer. And, you know, every weekend there's a great buzz in this town. And the other thing, I couldn't let it go without mentioning it. We're so lucky. We probably have one of the best tidy towns committee in the country. And what the work they do on a voluntary capacity, Pat, if you were coming in the road this morning, and I know you were over here bright and early, 6 o'clock this morning, you had people cleaning the streets. Yeah. And these do this, the tidy towns do it on a voluntary basis. And I must say that only for the tidy towns, we'd have a serious problem in a lot of towns around the country. The tidy towns are brilliant. And when I was Minister for Rural and Community Development, I gave them some funding, and I hope that funding is still being given to the tidy towns, because the councils could be doing a bit more, but they're leaving a lot of this work to the tidy towns.
Now, some political questions for you. Have you read Leo's book?
I haven't read it all, but I read the bits I went in myself.
Well, I'll quote them. Meanwhile, says Leo, I was learning how to work with my junior ministers, Alan Kelly and Michael Ring. They were both talented, strong personalities with big egos and quite hard to manage as a result. Michael had a fiery temperament. Sometimes we misunderstood one another, largely because of our different backgrounds. When I tried to avoid a row, he'd insist on one. We had many blistering arguments during which threats of resignation were made and rebuffed. This is how he let off steam. On one occasion, everyone stifled their laughter while Michael threatened to storm off, and I offered to help him back. But when it came to interactions with officials, backbenchers or media, Michael was 100% behind me.
Yeah, look, I enjoyed my time with Leo, and we did come from two different backgrounds. And when I went into the department first, Pat, and I really did feel sorry for Leo because he probably couldn't have met two stronger characters than myself and Alan Kelly. Now, we gave him a good lesson in life, and I think he learned what politics was about. And I have to say that I found him a very honourable, decent man, and we had many, many rows. But there were really, it weren't over personalities, they were over issues. And I had a different view of rural Ireland than Leo had, and he had a different view of politics than Leo had. And I wasn't afraid to express my opinion.
What's interesting about his book is that it's all about Leo learning, really. You know, he changed dramatically from, if you like, the callow youth who embarked on politics to where he ended up.
Well, it's a funny thing, Pat, but politics will tame you down. You know, Leo might have had a different view of the world, but when you come into the real world, and when you become Taoiseach, it's a more difficult job. You're trying to deal with every ministry, you're trying to deal with every minister, you're trying to deal with every problem. And in all fairness to Leo, like, he had some great qualities. And the one thing about him, and I will give him this, when I was minister, I was minister. But he didn't put it in the book. The very first day, me and Leo, the first row we had was over an official coming in and saying, this is where this, there was a grant aid being granted in relation to swimming pools. Very simple thing. And I looked around and there wasn't one for Connacht. And I said, what's my role in this? Oh, he said, you will announce it. Oh, I said, I won't. I said, bring in the list to me now, I said, and I'll see who made the applications. And I'm going to pick the swimmables. So the next thing, anyway, didn't the official say, oh, I'm going to go to Leo. And Leo was in some faraway country on holidays at the time. And I remember, and Leo didn't put this in the book, but I'm going to tell it now. When he told a few stories about me, he was away on holidays anyway. And the next thing, we were emailing one another. And it was there was a different time zone. Anyway, I sent him an email. I said, you make no decision on this till you come back. So I'll tell you the story now, Pat, and I'm going to put it into my book. When Leo came back, anyway, it was the 16th of August. I'll never forget it. I was in Belmont on the 15th, and I drove to Dublin, left here at 6 o'clock in the morning. We had before 6, we had a meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning, and Leo arrived in at about 12 o'clock. And he was only up the road, and I was 5 hours down the road with a can of Coke. Well, I can tell you, Pat, I put the church in the centre of the parish for Leo. And I will tell you, I told him, and he said, look at, he just took up the paper, do what you like. And he never bothered me from that day to this. I ran the department, and I did run the department. And that's what's wrong with the ministers today, Pat. They're being controlled by civil servants, and they're not ministers. And they should be, you know, they have to listen to the people and bring in, you know, do what has to be done.
He also said that many have claimed to have devised the name Wild Atlantic Way, including my junior minister, Michael Ring, who was involved in the project from its preliminary stages. I'm not sure who has the right to that honour. It wasn't me. He says,
well,
and it wasn't.
Well,
but it was you, was it?
It was me. And I can tell Leo now, well, that I was in the Dáil speaking one night, and I was on my feet and in full flow, and I said, they don't care about the west of Ireland. I said, we live down in the Wild Atlantic Way. And somebody picked it up, and they used, then we were looking for an initiative to try and do something with.
So you coined the phrase?
I coined the phrase, and let nobody take that. And I'll tell you something else, Pat. He's right about one thing. A lot of people did try to claim it. But the one that promoted the Wild Atlantic Way was myself. I went all over Europe. I went all over America. And people will be asking me about the Wild Atlantic Way. And in fact, Pat, the officials used to be saying to me, you can't be mentioning the west of Ireland all the time. You can't be talking about the Wild Atlantic Way. But I got the Wild Atlantic Way into their heads.
Yeah.
And people started saying, God, we'll have to.
So when someone writes the PhD thesis on the marketing success of the Wild Atlantic Way, they can go into the Dáil record and find you saying that.
That's correct. They'll find it, and they'll find it. And that's where it actually, that's where it happened. And as I say, I promoted it. And I remember at the time, RTE, Mary Wilson, I remember her saying, I think it was Mary Wilson, she said, oh, this is some little gadget now to keep Michael Ring happy in the west of Ireland. And that was said on the programme, the thing was 5-7 Live at the time, and it was said on that programme. But that was the greatest thing that ever happened for tourism, in particularly in rural Ireland. And I remember, Pat, when I was minister, they came in from Limerick, I think it was Foynes, they wanted to get into it because they had some lakes down there, they wanted to get into the Wild Atlantic. I said no. And I told the department they were to let nobody else, it was unique, and it is unique, and you know, it really has opened up Erris. Erris is a fantastic place. People are now discovering places that they have never ever discovered before, and we have beautiful scenery
now. Michael, I want to talk to you about the presidency. Did you not think of throwing your hat in the ring?
But you know, Pat, I thought about it, but I'm afraid I got the green card at home. I got the red card, the red card at home. I got two red cards. No, I didn't really, Pat. I didn't know.
Anyway, much as I love the Phoenix Park, I grew up beside the Phoenix Park.
Yes.
You know, it would be hard to trade Westport for the Phoenix Park.
Well, now, Pat, if to be there for 7 years, I don't think I could do that. And I think I'd be moving part of Westport up to the Phoenix Park. And that's what I'd have to do to be able to stay there. No, look, we have a great candidate in Heather Humphreys. And I wish her well.
Now, what do you think of the route to the nomination via the councils? It does seem as if, you know, candidates who might have some merit are being frustrated in this regard. Now, there are some who have little or no merit who are being frustrated, and we all applaud that. But candidates of merit who just can't get a nomination.
Well, look, I'll be honest, and I'm going to be honest here today. The county councillors over the years have been complaining they have no powers. And there's a review being done of local authorities now at the moment. And I hope they bring back some power to the local elected representatives. But this is a power that they have. And I have to say it, Pat, I think it's wrong. There is people of quality that should be on the ballot paper. And there is people that shouldn't be on the ballot paper. And the councillors are well capable of making a decision.
The other thing with the PR system, it does winnow out the people who had no chance but wanted to make a showing. They get dropped by the wayside anyway through the PR. And it gives, you know, people a chance to express their views.
But that's correct, and it allows people to vote for maybe not the mainstream parties who they want to vote for. And as you say, when they come out, they'll vote, and they'll vote down the line. And it actually, in some ways, it comes back, and it encourages democracy. And I think that the county councillors should have taken a different view. And I don't think if these people are independent on their county councils, I don't think they should put in the tic-tac from any political party. Mm. I think they should judge people on their merits. And if they feel somebody should be on the ballot paper. Now, we don't want what we had in the European election ballot papers that it take you a week to read it.
Now, Michael, you've had a great life in politics, and I know you miss it to some extent, but political life is not attractive to many people these days because of the threats against politicians, the online abuse and so on. What do you think of that? I mean, is it a sea change in public life?
And Pat, I really want to say this. It's really what's happening in politics now, very distasteful, and something has to be done. And I started this campaign about 7 or 8 years ago, and you can go back again on the record of it all, as I used to call it, was the faceless book. And that's what it is. Facebook is the faceless book. Social media is destroying life, not alone politics. It's destroying young children now. It's destroying communities. It's destroying life. We see what's going on in America. And come back to it. Governments need to do something about it at world level, at European level, and at national level. What's been said about people on social media, the damage is doing to people's life, and the abuse that's there, it's shocking. And something will have to be done. An uncontrolled media, and that's what it is. It's uncontrolled. Whether you like it or don't like it, Pat, you're controlled. There's rules and regulations that you have to abide by. In social media, there's no rules, there's no regulations, and something will have to be done. It's destroying society, and governments need to take a strong view. But they're afraid of the multinational companies, and it's time now they were taken on because it's damaging society.
Michael Ring, thank you very much for joining us here in the town hall in Westport, just looking out on the Octagon and feeling wistful. Michael, thank you.
I'll come back
much.
Again, Pat, soon.
I will do.
Thank you very much.
I'll be back soon.
Thank you very
much.
All right.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.